What is up, guys? Definitely gonna figure out how to do an intro song. I'm gonna look for some music to buy, and so it's not as such a boring, lame intro. Not that it matters. Ooh, hello, internet. It has been a couple of days, 9 to be exact. And boy, do I have information. I think I'm going to figure out a schedule, like a concrete one, that's less lame, but definitely things to talk about. Wrote some notes down to essentially continue my thoughts. I've been using a couple of notes options, Obsidian, Joplin, and then LogSec, I think, is the one that I like the most, which is for its own reasons. I think mainly because, I mean, Obsidian is closed source, so I don't really care for that. The plugins and the user experiences on Obsidian is a little bit more friendlier. LogSec's app, like Android app, is a little bit nicer, in my opinion, than the PC client. But whatever. Not the point, not the topic. Today's topic is going to be pretty much about Monero, Android malware, and why, essentially, it's good to verify your sources. Even if it's through the Play Store, it can kind of sync through. This is roughly an old, it's like 10 days maybe. It snuck into some apps on the through the Android Play Store, which is kind of crazy. And then it did some APK spoofing. It spoofed some other apps from unofficial sources. And then I recently talked about ham radio and why it should be a good form of second communication, why you should have a backup form of communication, and you know, always have a plan, you know. Other ways to create your own intranet, like your own infrastructure to a certain degree, your own apps that you can use locally with no internet access, apps that I use, and you know, just my thoughts. So I'm also going to try and I might set up Owncast and do my streaming from there. I haven't really decided yet, but we'll get into it with Monero. Oh, and financial independence, freedom, you name it. So recently I came across Ashigaru. It is pretty much a fork of, if you remember, the application Samurai Wallet, and what happened with the person that was running it. They shut it down. A group of people came out and forked Samurai Wallet and essentially made the to continue the project in order to connect to your Dojo node, broadcast over Tor network at distance from the origins of your transactions to mitigate the surveillance, encrypted key recovery. post-mix spending, import your Samurai wallet private keys and maintain your segregated accounts, batch spending to save on fees, composing, single transactions and multiple recipients, stealth mode, peer-to-peer conjoins pretty much undermine the use by the blockchain observers through collaboration with others, and coin control, smart mining fees, etc. Has an Android app, downloading it for Android is required through Tor only for privacy reasons, and then this is going to play into verifying the source of your applications. The message can be copied from the Keybase verification tool below. It's relatively easy. Copy it, you verify in Keybase, it should give you a hash verification, and then you should, for the steps required to match the hash message above the APK file, refer to software verification guide. Contains methods, tons of methods on how to verify APK files and their validity, their validness. The reason you should do this is to make sure you're not downloading software that is malicious. I'm not expecting everyone to do that, but if you essentially use software like this, I'm assuming you kind of know what you're doing, hopefully. So, yeah, Samurai Wallet got forked. Eshigaru. Don't know why the fuck it's called that. But it's pretty much a way to enhance your privacy with Bitcoin, because we all know Bitcoin isn't anonymous. I don't know why the fuck that people continue to think this, even though it's pretty plain. It's in pretty plain English that Bitcoin was never really supposed to be anonymous. It never has been. It's kind of pseudo-anonymous, I guess, if you don't use, like, you know, centralized exchanges, and you do some backflips and some left and rights, and maybe you can get away with it. But I just say use Monero. Monero isn't perfect, but it's light years ahead of most cryptocurrencies that claim to be anonymous. It's pretty well proven. Obviously, there are ways to de-anonymize people, but it's not at the fault of Monero. It's at the fault of, like, mainly bad OPSEC and not hosting your own node. You should probably host your own Monero node, personally. Just like you should host your own Bitcoin, Lightning Network, your own Bitcoin node, your own Lightning Network, your own Lightning node, your own Dojo node. If you do all these things and you have, like, relatively good OPSEC, and you spend, you know, accordingly, like, you should, you know, your privacy should be protected at a very good high degree. I'm not an expert on all of it, but I host pretty much my own Monero node, and I host my own Lightning node as well, because I don't like the fucking fees that come with Bitcoin for the amount of time. It's like $5 to send it over Bitcoin. I'm like, this sucks. I'm not paying that. $4, $3 even, $2, whatever, when Monero is like fractions of a penny. And you can speed up the transaction fees if you really want to, but once it's confirmed, you're pretty much solid. Monero is getting delisted from Kraken, I believe. Which is not fun. And this is going into pretty much the first main point. Kraken is to delist Monero in the European economic arena due to regulatory change. So I think they're pretty much delisting it in general. XMR price plummets after Kraken. Like, the price is like, I don't buy Monero to make bags. I want to make that clear. And I really think it's annoying when people, like, this is all they care about with Bitcoin and pretty much anything else. It's kind of insane. It's like, I think people should look at the technology and what can it do for me? This is what you should realistically do with Monero, and this is a very simple economic concept. You spend it. You treat it like cash. It's digital cash. It's a way to buy digital goods in a more private manner so that you can help the circular economy. There's tons of websites. I will link in the show notes and on any platform I put this on tons of Monero resources where you can spend, buy, you name it. Pretty much all of these regulations are afraid of Monero because they can't track it. That's all it is. Big financial institutions can't trace it, so they can't they can't get your financial data off of it, and they can't sell that information to somebody else. The government probably fears that people will not, they'll use this as a form of tax evasion. I don't care about that part. You can commit, you can just do that legally with a couple loopholes. You don't have to go through all this. I think the biggest problem is people look at Monero how they look at the dark web. Only criminals use it, and it is not fun. I think you should go spend it, use it so that its value is tied to the fact that people are using it. Now, obviously, it's going to dip the more exchanges make it hard, but here's a couple key points to remember on how cryptocurrency works. It cannot be deleted. It can't be impossible to get. It can be hard, but not impossible. If I open up a website, even if Monero is illegal, somehow they make it quote unquote illegal, which I don't even know how that would happen, besides making it very difficult to obtain. I'll just hand somebody I know that's with cash, I'll hand cash, and I have them send me Monero. Now there's Havana. That is a way that you can do peer-to-peer transactions. I think it would be better just to do it with people you know or whatever. Or sell goods and services on the internet, the dark web, or wherever, because it's not illegal yet, and it's still relatively easy to get, sell it for Monero. Accept card, accept Monero. It's super easy. Monero's GUI wallet has a merchant setup where you can just make a wallet, collect it, pay your taxes, go home. You know, it's that simple. And I believe a big part of also why people don't care, minus the delisting, is it's not getting meme stocked into oblivion where it's like, I want to make 405,000x off this. That's not the intentions, and because that's not the intentions, a lot of people stray away from the idea of going through all these hoops to obtain slight, you know, quote unquote, in their eyes, slightly better privacy. In my eyes, much better privacy. There are a lot of products I buy with Monero. I'm not saying, you know, ditch your bank, get only paid in Monero, fuck credit cards, all that other stuff. I think that everything has its place. There are products and stuff that I like to buy where I don't want my financial institutions to know that I buy them. And I don't have to carry around X amount of cash. It is really portable. I think that is one of the key factors into it compared to like other denominations of currencies, quote unquote. So this is another point into it. Our beloved PayPal opted you in to help you make, they took your information and pretty much sold it to advertisers, essentially, to help you with your purchase decision making and give you a curated experience. This is really, really bad. And not to get crazy, but they stopped. They can stop and hold money whenever they want if they don't agree with you. Look at, I think it was Visa or MasterCard. They pulled out from creators that were doing like porn essentially, and they're like, we're not gonna Visa. I think Visa or MasterCard. I can't remember one. Which one? They essentially went around and dicked around with people's money, which is kind of fucked up. And I don't know how to really say this without trying to get super insane sounding, but one of the biggest problems is PayPal shares your data without your consent. Visa and MasterCard can just refuse and close people's bank accounts whenever they want if they don't agree with their policy, like the way that they're making money. And if you don't agree with it, like if you don't like it, then you're kind of fucked. Like, what are you going to do? Ask for cash by mail? This is why a lot of decentralized finance is important and really here to protect people that do work that the public may not agree with for whatever reason. And the point is if I set up shop online and I accept Monero, just like this podcast accept Monero, the only information that is exchanged is this platform here costs X amount of money. Here is my email address. Here is the amount that you are requesting. That's it. Done. Over with. What he does on his side, or they do on their side, or whatever, is between them, their bank account holder, the government, whatever. That's not my business. But what isn't anyone else's business is the fact that I'm taking this financial currency worth this amount and I'm handing it to them, and that's it. It's that simple. It's not that ludicrous of an idea. It's no different than me going into a gas station and buying a candy bar with $2 in cash. Hey, here's $2. Have a nice day. This thing costs $2. It's supply, demand, you know, fungibility. You name it. It's like, I don't really think my credit card company or my banking information company needs to know what I spent on a Tuesday afternoon, especially if I don't need anyone to know. You know, it's just one of those things that I think we've become so accustomed to is, I don't care. What are they going to get from me? A lot of information. Especially PayPal, who's pretty much linked everywhere. Like, use PayPal, sign up with PayPal. They've made it so convenient, people are just like, I'm okay with it. And I don't, again, look at Monero as I'm going to hoard it and put it in the corner and, you know what I mean, and never touch it and hope that it makes me a millionaire in 10 to 15 years. I just spend it. The way that Monero set up is to prevent it from being like a supply and demand thing where, like, oh, we're getting low on supply of Monero, so, you know, tits up, where people are just holding it. I suggest everyone just to read the white paper, read how it works. It's really simple. It's very clear cut. There is another There's a channel on YouTube I'll link to called Breaking Monero, I think it's called. Man, my brain be. This is going to be actually 40 minutes of me talking about Monero. it's a really good Breaking Monero. Yeah, this is a really good really good thing, really good channel that happened about 5 years ago that explores the potential vulnerabilities to be pretty much with Monero. And that's what I love about it, is there's a lot of really good information out there. And I think that it's cool that there's so much information out there that can be exposed to help people understand how this works. I use my own wallet. I suggest you all do the same. Read through the resources and learn how it works. And definitely spend it. Definitely support people in the circular economy with this kind of perspective. Like, you walk up to a vendor, you hand them $4 worth of Monero, and they give you a candy bar or whatever they want. But that's just my insights. I'm going to, again, link some articles down to where PayPal has been an absolute fucking demon. And other Visa, MasterCard, banks, you know, left and right, freezing accounts, holding on to money, not releasing funds, almost destroying startups because this is a decision they made. And I believe Proton, as much as people were shitting on them for the Bitcoin wallet, he does prove a point in an interview I watched where he actually chose Bitcoin not because of its privacy aspect. I understand they're a privacy company, they go into the technical details how it is slightly more private. It's not private like Zaps or Conjoin. It's slightly more private, but it's the fact that you have Bitcoin is a trustless system. Whether I agree with the Bitcoin or not, it is the same perspective of Monero. You can't stop it. You can't prevent somebody from losing their funds as long as they have those keys and internet access. And I understand that, you know, we could go back and forth and be like, oh, the internet, what if the internet's out, then I'm fucked. I believe someone sent Cashew. Technically, you can receive funds offline. And maybe I'll do a video of me doing an offline Monero. There's a way you can download. There's a Get Monero HTML page you can get. And I believe you can do it with Bitcoin, where you can make a QR code and you can get your, you can have a received wallet, and it's completely offline. And it's, you know, you don't got to worry about internet access right then and there. And you have your spend key and your spend key and like your viewing key. You have to remember to like keep safe and private. I mean, a lot of it is management. You have to manage it yourself. But beyond that, definitely simple TLDR. Spend Monero, use Monero, fuck PayPal, and make sure that you claim your, your financial independence as much as possible. And if you're still sitting here, people, and I get off my soapbox, exchanges delisting Monero is one of the, not only the biggest problems, and what happened to the Samurai wallet is another issue on its own that we can have a whole discussion about, which kind of, you know, that makes complete sense why people should be pissed and outraged and somewhat like fearful that want to get into this kind of business, is that you need to, instead, I understand that like now isn't going to be perfect, but that's the point of getting better. I mean, that's generally, we do things that aren't, that don't make us comfortable. That's how we become, you know, essentially a better society. But onto the onto the next. It onto the next big oopsie daisy of the week. Well, it's like 14 days ago. Android malware. Crazy. It's actually kind of insane how this got through. So there's I picked this up accidentally through Tech Radar, which, you know, they're like VPN company. A new Android malware has been spotted as spreading across apparently Europe as popular software. And essentially what happened was, is they're saying like over 11 million Android devices were infected through this. I don't know how that's really tracked, but apparently Kaspersky said the malware called Necro infiltrated an advertising software development kit, pretty much an SDK, and named Coral SDK, which should have been used integrated in different advertising modules into applications. Several apps have been confirmed to be infected, including the Wuta camera and Max browser. In addition, WhatsApp mods from unofficial sources and modified versions of Spotify, known as Spotify Plus, also contain the malware. When Kaspersky discovered the malware and alerted developers, Wuta camera said they have fixed it on version 6.3.7.138. However, Max browser remains compromised, and the researchers recommend deleting the app and switching to an alternative browser. My personal take, why the fuck would you download a browser called Max browser? This is an issue that people need to address themselves. Do I need this app? Does this app solve any of my problems? Will this app still be around tomorrow? Pretty much the researchers found the Minecraft, Stumble Guys, Car Parking, Multiplayer, and a Melon Sandbox, that's kind of ironic, had an infected game mods. The Necromare is infecting Android devices. The researchers has recommended if you have any of the aforementioned Google Play apps installed, the versions are to update it. Versions where the malicious code has been removed, and move on. This is something that got there through the Google Play service, apparently, with an app, or just a regular camera app. I don't know why people download camera apps. Probably should just use stock. Not my cup of tea. but definitely get rid of the Wuta camera. Photo editing, a beautiful tool. They said they fixed it, but I wouldn't trust it after that. And Max web browser. First off, do I need this app? If I don't, move on. A few ways to essentially mitigate this is use a PWA. PWAs aren't super, they're not bulletproof. Nothing's bulletproof, but use a PWA. Use a PWA, which is a progressive web app, and then you take the direction of having 2FA on your account, good password, username. And you don't gotta worry about being infected. Browsers are relatively secure now. Brave, enforce HTTPS, you know, to make sure that at least it's t- taking in the right right direction. If you have graphene OS, use Vadium. It's a very nice, hardened, strict browser. It just works. uBlock Origin. Block out the malicious ad sites. And use a little bit of common sense, and most of the time you're fine. Plus, PWAs use less resources, less storage. There's tons of them. Spotify, I think, has a PWA. Discord. They exist. There's ways to turn them into PWAs. This is crazy. Kaspersky identified several apps infected by it. Available in the Google Play, and then their combined audience of more than 11 million Android devices. This stuff's getting good. This stuff is getting so good, and then it's, God forbid, you have an old fucking Android with really outdated software that has none of the protections, and there's tons of people probably like this, where they're in third world countries, where they don't have updated phones that have good update policies and security and good software support, long term, etc. Those are all valid things. Not everyone can afford new phone, so or a phone that still gets updates, or etc. So my suggestion is, if you do know, say hypothetically, how to verify the apps that you're downloading, please do so. Generally, you can somewhat trust the Google Play service, getting it from Google Play. I do Obtainium. I use Accrescent. Accrescent's relatively lacklustering in apps, but it's supposed to be there for better apps, better security. Then there's Obtainium, and then App Verified. App Verified allows me to verify APK files and match them, and then I can go match the signature, the hash signature, to make sure it's coming from a verified app source. And updates, I make sure I apply automatic updates, and I give little to no permissions as possible. If it doesn't need network access, don't give it. If it doesn't need this access, I don't give it. You got to make sure, you got to see what it's asking. Contacts, whatever, just do contact scope if you have to. Storage scope, I don't give it full access. I never give any app full access to storage. It's pretty simple. Use 2FA, passkeys if you can. Web authentication is a lot more secure. Reduces phishing because it requires to be off a handshake with the website. Web auth is a lot better than OTP. That's why it's kind of hey, use this. Web authentication is a core component of the FIDO2 project under guidelines. The goal is to pretty much standardize interface authenticity using web-based applications and servicing using public key cryptography. Something that, public key, private key cryptography has been around for a long time. It's pretty well vetted. It's very nice. So that's just my thought on that. Verify what you're downloading. If you don't need it, don't use it. PWA, and then bookmark the site too. Use bookmarks. This sounds crazy, but I have my own bookmark service. I have my own self-hosted bookmark service that I use. So if my phone ever gets deleted or thrown out, I don't have to worry about importing or syncing or anything. And then I also keep a backup of that in case that any oopsies happen there. I have a bookmarks lead me directly to the site that I need to go to. 2FA on everything. Pass keys when they're supported. Don't need the app? I don't download the app. Graphene OS has not only been great for compartmentalizing my life, but it's also, I'm like, man, I really didn't use that app. I didn't use that app either. I have less apps. I'm getting less and less apps. I'm pretty much going to have a phone for notes and movies, essentially. Look at note, look at movie. And I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it until it's end of life. Yeah, Pixel 9's great. Last thing. Ooh, man, hurricane. Big RIP to the people that live in Florida. That sucks. I think they're being evacuated, though, in the bad parts. This should be a reminder. I'm going to stand on a soapbox for a minute. And I'm going to essentially give my thoughts and my opinions. Now, this has been about 36 minutes of me saying a lot of stuff that I could probably boil down in 15 minutes. I think people need a backup plan that is associated with their geographical location. I wouldn't have a backup plan that is focused in a place that has snow versus in a place that has giant water hurricane moment. It wouldn't make sense. I don't need to worry about warmth when I'm in the south. I don't need to worry about, you know, the sun dehydrate. I don't need to worry about heat stroke, hopefully, in the north. And unless some scientific geologist comes out of nowhere and says, nah, you retarded. You actually do, brother. But the point is, your geographical location should determine what you need to be prepared for. What is the most likely? People that live in Florida should most likely expect a hurricane at a very high frequency basis. Some say that, oh, I've lived my whole life, I've never seen one, or some have been like, oh, I've lived through 10 of them, I'm fine. But there, it just takes one. Nature don't give a fuck what happened last year. Nature give a fuck now. It is crazy. And I think that it is kind of, you need to have somewhat of a, not only a plan, I think it's good to not only have a plan based on your geographic location, but in realisticness, is you needed to practice. Now, all the ham radio people are going to get mad. Well, the anti-license people, they're like, why should I get a license for a ham radio? Just say you can't fucking read. That's all I want to hear. You can't fucking read. I don't care about you and your buddies playing ham radio, dick and balls in the middle of the woods once every 6 months. No one fucking cares. I swear, anytime I talk about emergency comms and I throw it on the internet, it gets a lot of traction because there's a lot of insane engagement. It's not even good. It's not good engagement. It's like, downvote, fuck you, I don't need a license. When shit hits the fan, it don't matter. Okay, sure, whatever. Think what you want. The thing is, a lot of people will buy a radio. They will not be licensed. They will put it in the corner. They'll play with their dick and balls for months. And when they need to use it, they won't know how to operate it. And a lot of ham radio operators I know will not talk to someone without a license because they're not gonna fuck up their chance and their license to talk to some retard over the airwaves. They'll just move on. And they might report you. And they can find you. I believe there's a way to triangulate, like, where it's coming from. And if you interrupt emergency services like a dickhead because you don't know what you're doing, you're a dickhead. It's that simple. It's $15. Get your license. You learn a lot. You're paying someone, a volunteer, essentially, to do a test, and you're learning. Whoops-a-daisy. I think people should just... It's crazy. I think it should just be simple. Learn the material, take the test, get your license, practice, have fun, meet people, learn more. Or just get your GMSR license. It's no test. And it's like $30 and it'll last for 10 years. And it's you can get some good range out of it. People will argue what you can get out of it. I think for most people, it's good. And then go get your hams when you want to. I'm not saying the test isn't not that it's hard, but if you go read the material and you focus on the good parts, it's not. It's like any test. Learn the material. Learn how to operate your ham radio. And then move on. I don't know, like, I think people are overcomplicating it. It's like anything. Hey, there's this cool new thing I want to learn. You learn how to, you read the manual, you take input, you talk to educated people, and then you learn it, and then you're there, and then you moved on. And so what about the license? The license part's the least of my worries. If you have a driver's license and a social security, and you're born in America, everything is already known about you to like a certain degree. This is where people get me, think I'm fucked up on. I'm born in a place where I can be found. It's very hard to disappear in the United States, like truly. I live in a society. I don't like corporate surveillance monetizing on me, selling my data along with my government. I think it's worse. I'm more in the favor of not corporate surveillance. It's objectively just as bad, if not worse, because they're profiting off of it. That's where I get annoyed. Especially there's not a lot of privacy protections out there, if any, if none really. California, I think, kind of. And who knows if they actually, if companies actually care, they might just take the fine because they just make more money off selling the data in the back end. But these hurricanes that are literally gangbanging the South right now, this should be a call to action to yourself. Go buy a Mesh-tastic device. At the very least, get a group of people that have access to these devices and GMSR radio operators and ham radio operators and continue to build and make a resilient offline communications. Communications is one of the, I think people don't realize, communications is one of the biggest foundations of society. It's one of the core components. It was so core that I learned the other day that the guy that made essentially the most usable telegraph, Morse code, was due to him missing his wife's funeral. Like, he left, he was a painter, he left, his wife died, he missed her funeral, he never got to see her again because of how long it took letters. And then he ended up making essentially the most functioning, telegraphs at the time, and developed Morse code. It's no wonder why we love instant messaging. Not for because of gratification, but because it's instant. Like texting and Messenger. It's immediate. And it sits there and it waits. It waits for you. I think that when you lose communication, it definitely is way worse. Worse than most, because this is how you get food. supply chain, help, medical. Where are these people? Where are the most people hurt? We even whether we communicate locally or externally or etc. And I'm just again in the show notes. I'm gonna leave a list of apps that I use that do not require internet access. Some alternatives to Meshtastic, but I'll talk on them for a couple minutes, and then some closing thoughts, and then we'll be done. What? So I not only use Meshtastic, I use Briar. Briar is very, very simple, and I'll die on these hills. Briar's not perfect. There's no perfect messaging app. But the cool thing about Briar is it's offline. It's end-to-end encrypted. I don't think they do perfect forward secrecy, but I'm not sure. They have a desktop, local storage, encrypted, offline. It's nearby, open source. It's nearby. Now, there's this cool thing that I'm waiting for it to launch. I'm in the waiting build. Like when it's done being built and I can start funding it, probably start funding it. Like I'll throw some money at it because it looks really, really cool. It is, and this is somewhat off, not really off topic, but somewhat. No, it's on topic. I don't think anyone needs, thinking about Morse code, I don't think anyone actually still uses that. But whatever. It's called Meshinger. It's a handheld wireless router with a battery, e-ink display, SD card, and a keyboard. The hardware and operating system are, and all applications are completely open source, hackable and based on OpenWrt. So existing OpenWrt packages can run on it, including Wi-Fi compatible. Meshinger also provides two unique features, true offline mesh messaging and functioning as a pocket-sized single-unit wireless router. So offline messaging is valuable in remote access where other infrastructure might be unavailable. It's also available in urban centers where, you know, infrastructure sucks. Damage, blocked, or disaster. When this pops out, I'm going to look into it, and I want to test it. Meshtastic's very simple, very easy to understand, very easy, cheap to set up. Then there's something called Maypole. It's wireless file storage from anywhere. This could allow you to share documents that are life-saving. I use Kiwix. Kiwix is an offline Wikipedia. I have really important downloaded parts of Wikipedia that might essentially be life-saving and or help people have something to read so that they can maybe, you know, have a different perspective. That's just my viewpoint. Yes, if you don't have access to a computer or electricity, this is all somewhat useless. But that's, you could say the same thing if, you know, hurricanes knock the shit out of your books and rip them to shreds and they sink into the water and the ink bleeds everywhere. I mean, we could go down any semantical. We could go down any rabbit hole and fight back and forth. The important part is most people, you can set up, I really, really, really wish Pirate Box did not die off. But there is something called the Freedom Box. The Freedom Box is pretty much a personal server at home. You can self-host, and this goes into the same topic. Self-hosting is life-saving. A lot of my self-hosted apps don't need internet access. They can all work on the local area network. A lot of my note-taking apps, a lot of my documentation does not need internet. It just needs to be, my local area network just needs to exist. IP address, DHCP server. It does not need access outside of that. That's huge. Really huge. And the thing is, you can set a lot of these up, like a personal notebooks, Kiwix, a media server. You can do a simple like. Like file sharing, sync thing, transmission, you know, all these things that don't need internet access. PirateBox was somewhat ahead of its time, and I'm very sad that it I wish somebody would pick it up. It pretty much closed in 2020. Yeah, and it kind of sucks. But the crazy part is it set up a way that you could have a message board and you could share, like have messages. Like you could have a message board, people could come and put their thoughts and like discussion and stuff like that. Messtastic has an integration with some map on Android, which is nice. And that, like, so you can like see your friends' locations. And there's just a ton of apps out there now that are needing less and less internet and bandwidth, which is what I'm in favor for, especially in really struggling areas. And it's not as robust where they have access to all this information. I think that's a huge, 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 huge difference. I mean, don't let all this fucking insane people that are like ignore the media on this, in my opinion. Like, obviously besides like weather reports. But I think the best thing to do is talk to your friends about a backup plan, and talk to your friends about a way that they can essentially have a good secondary communication. It's not really that hard. Messtastic is super easy to set up and super simple. You can set it up for them. There's enough information on the internet. Kiwix, start there. Just download, you know, basic Wikipedia pages that are very useful for a situation like this. And definitely go look into getting your ham radio license. Now, to recap and just kind of like be, you know, TLDR is, I think more people should take advantage of their financial independence and look into really good alternative cryptocurrencies that have strong foundations. Bitcoin is a strong foundation. It's just not private. And I think that to ask somebody to do all these backflips and trust the software and run this software, or, you know, what if it gets shut down again, is they should just pick the, in my opinion, the better alternative, which is Monero. Buy Monero, use Monero, spend Monero. And stop trusting the Google Play Store to do everything for you, because it's not going to. I mean, these malicious APKs got in the back door through the Play Store, and luckily it got patched. And I'm not saying distrust the Play Store based on that one, you know, that incident alone. But you yourself need to also trust your own instinct and see, do I need this app or not? Can I just use a PWA? Or at very least, pick open source software where there's maybe relatively a good amount of eyes on it that are protecting the integrity of the app itself and making sure it's not doing anything in the background. And at the very least, restrict restrict internet access and permissions as much as possible. Go through the permissions of your Android device. Not everyone has Graphene OS, so, but I think the best thing you can do is Do I need this app? How much permissions is it asking for? Is it required? And if it's not required, then can I remove it? Can I remove these and it still function? I think that's another thing to look at. And last off, before I dip and be back in a set amount of time, I think I'm gonna, I figured out a schedule plan for this. The most important thing you can do is not only make sure you have a backup plan and you're verifying essentially with like intent that you're going to like practice this on a consistent basis, is get into a routine of like once a month, once every couple months, initiate your backup plan. Like back up your data is only as good as until you actually need to do it. So you need to test these things. Go get your ham radio license. Buy small amounts of Monero from like no KYC exchanges. Learn how to verify like APK files. I think we need to get back in the swing of things of actually doing, learning, failing, and learning how to succeed from failure. And being a little bit more self-reliant. I'll leave a list of apps in the show notes and anywhere I post this of resources on how to pretty much disconnect yourself in the events of like this. How to set up Meshtastic and Reculum. And there's a few other apps in there as well that don't require internet access. Keywix as well, which is a really awesome project, and if you can donate to any of these projects to continue the development of them, please do so. I think that is like one of the most core foundations is about free and open source software. It's not free as in cost, but free as in freedom. And most importantly, make sure that you're not only spreading I guess like this good kind of information yourself, but also reevaluating, rethinking. Do I need essential? Do I need what problem is looming and how can I solve it? You know, in a good sense, definitely do that. All right. Brain on zero now, and I am out for the rest of the night.